The opinion of a woman saved the army.
The mother of the believers, Salama, radiyallahu anha, was endowed with sound opinions and an intelligent mind, which were of great use on the day of Al-Hudaybiyah. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam completed the affair of the agreement at Al-Hudaybiyah, he said to his companions, "Stand, slaughter your sacrifice, and then shave your heads." Not a single person among them stood up, not even after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam repeated his command 3 times. Then Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered upon Salama and mentioned to her the treatment he received from the people. He said, "The people have become destroyed." She said, "O Prophet of Allah, do you want that? Go out, then speak not a single word to anyone from them until you slaughter your sacrifice and then call your barber to shave your head." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went out, spoke to no one from them until he performed both of those actions. He slaughtered his sacrifice and called his barber to shave his head. When the people saw that, they stood and slaughtered their sacrifices. Then they began to shave one another's heads. They were so miserable for having first disobeyed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they almost hurt one another while shaving each other. That was a most sound opinion that Allah inspired to Salama. And as a result, the problem was resolved and the Muslim army was saved after having at first gone against the commands of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
A mother's advice to her daughter prior to marriage.
Harith ibn Amr, the king of Kinda, proposed to marry the daughter of Auf ibn Muhillim. Her mother said to her the following words on the day that she was to be taken to her husband. "My daughter, if advice were to be left off to those of virtue, I would have abstained from advising you. But good advice is a reminder to the heedless and a helper to the wise. If a woman didn't need a husband because of the richness of her parents and because of the great need for her, then you would have been the richest of people in that regard. However, women were created for men, and men were created for women. My daughter, you are indeed leaving this house that you have been raised in, leaving to go to a man that you do not know, and to a partner that you are not used to. Be a slave to him, and he will become your slave, and preserve for him 10 qualities. Sincerity towards him by always being satisfied with your condition and good obedience to him. Be careful about his eyes and his nose. Do not let him see you in a bad state, and do not let him smell from you any odor except for the most fragrant of odors. Look after the time of his sleep and the time of his meals, for the continued state of hunger makes one weak and restless sleep leads to anger. Protect his wealth and look after his family. The key to wealth is good estimation, and the key to the family is good planning. Never disobey his command and never spread his secrets. The former embitters his heart, and the latter will make you unsafe from his betrayal.
Eat, O Bedouin.
During a battle in Constantinople, Mughira ibn Abdurrahman ibn Harith ibn Hisham was injured in the eye. He was a man who was known for his generosity, especially when it came to feeding his guests. It is related that a Bedouin came to him once and continued to stare at him without eating anything that was offered to him. Mughira said, "What is with you, Bedouin, that you do not eat as the people eat?" He said, "By Allah, I am indeed amazed at the abundance of food that you serve, but I have doubts about your eye. Mughira asked, And what makes you have doubts about it? He said, I see that you are one-eyed and that you feed others. And I have heard one who was describing Dajjal in a sermon in the mosque that he is one-eyed. Mughira laughed and said, Eat, O Bedouin, for indeed the Dajjal will not be inflicted in his eye while he is fighting in the way of Allah.
Allah blinded them.
Imam Qurtubi, rahimahullah, said, In the land of Andalus, I was once fleeing from the enemy. Two horsemen came after me, and it was a difficult situation indeed, because I was in open terrain, without having anything to hide under or in. I began to recite the beginning part of Surah Yasin, and other verses and chapters of the Quran, and they passed right by me. Returning thereafter from whence they came, and I heard one of them saying to the other, He is a devil, meaning that he is able to hide in open terrain. Allah blinded their sight so that they were not able to see me, and I praise Allah with much praise for that.
Habiba's dream.
Habiba radiyallahu anha said, I saw someone coming to me in my sleep and saying to me, Mother of the believers. I then woke up and interpreted it to mean that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was going to marry me. Immediately after my period of waiting ended, a messenger from Najashi came to my door seeking permission to enter. It was a young girl named Abraha. She came in and said, Verily, the king says to you, Indeed, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wrote to me, saying that I should marry you to him. I said to the messenger, May Allah give you glad tidings. She said, The king says that you should appoint someone to marry you off.
Do not attach your heart to other than Allah.
Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, said, Anyone whose heart is attached to the creation, hoping for someone from the creation to help him, or provide for him, or guide him, then his heart submits to them, and to the degree that his heart submits to them, he becomes their slave. This holds true, even if he is outwardly a ruler or a guardian over those whom he treats as masters. The wise one looks at realities and not at appearances. So if a man's heart is attached to his wife, even though that is permissible, his heart remains a prisoner to her, and she may rule over him as she pleases, though outwardly he is her master and her husband. In reality, he is her prisoner and her slave, especially if she knows how much he is in need of her and how much he is in love with her, and how much he feels that she cannot be replaced by anyone else. At that point, she rules over him as the tyrant master rules over his subjugated slave, who cannot escape or go free. Indeed, for the heart to be taken as a prisoner is a much greater matter than for the body to be taken as a slave or prisoner. Even a body that is a slave can have in it a serene and peaceful and happy heart. As for the heart that is a slave to other than Allah, the Exalted, then that is true humiliation, imprisonment, and slavery.
The repentance of Abu Mahjan al-Thaqafi.
Ibn Sirin related that Abu Mahjan al-Thaqafi, a great warrior, would constantly be whipped for drinking alcohol. But it happened so much that those in authority felt that they had no other choice but to imprison him and tie him up. On the day of Qadisiyah, the Muslims were having a hard fight. Abu Mahjan was in prison near the battlefield. He felt inside of him that the disbelievers were overcoming the Muslims in battle. And so, he sent a message to the wife of Sa'd. The message read, Abu Mahjan says to you, if you free him, allow him to ride on the horse and give him weapons, he will be the first to return to you unless he is killed. She ordered for him to be untied, and he was given the horse and weapons. He wrapped his face with a cloth and went out until he reached the battlefield, and he fought valiantly, killing man after man, opponent after opponent. Sa'd looked at him and was amazed. He said, who is that rider? Very quickly, Allah the Exalted made the Muslims victorious. As soon as the battle ended, Abu Mahjan hastened to return and put back the weapons. And when he returned, he tied his legs as they were tied before. When Sa'd returned, his wife asked, how was the battle? He began to inform her and said, we faced a difficult situation for a while, and then Allah sent a man on a horse. Had I not left Abu Mahjan tied up, I would have said that those were the fighting qualities of Abu Mahjan. She said, by Allah, indeed he was Abu Mahjan, and she related to him his story. Sa'd called him, untied him, and said, we will never again whip you for alcohol. Abu Mahjan said, and I, by Allah, will never drink it again. I refused to leave it off prior to this, because you would whip me. And he never drank alcohol after that.
The repentance of a man who dealt in usury.
Habib was a businessman who worked as a currency exchanger. He one day passed by a group of children who were playing, and they were saying to one another, here comes the one who eats usury. He lowered his head and said, oh my Lord, you have made my secret known to these children. He returned from whence he came, and a change overcame him. He cried, repented, and asked Allah for forgiveness. He placed all of his wealth before him and said, O my Lord, I indeed purchase myself from you with this wealth, so free me. When the morning came, he gave all of the wealth in charity. Then he devoted himself to worship, which he became so preoccupied with that he was always known to be fasting, standing for prayer, or remembering Allah. News of his righteousness spread among the people until he became known as Habib the Worshipper. One day, he again passed by the same group of children that had previously belittled him because he dealt in usury. When they saw him this time, they said to one another, be quiet, for Habib the Worshipper has come. He heard that, cried for a long time, and praised Allah.
He prevented evil from occurring.
Ibn Asakir related from Abu al-Husayn and Nuri that he once passed by many containers of alcohol. He asked, what is this? And to whom does it belong? He was told that it belonged to Al-Mu'tadid, the ruler at the time. He began to break open the barrels and spill all the alcohol. And he continued to do so until only one barrel remained. The police came, took him, and made him stand before Al-Mu'tadid, who said, who has appointed you to enjoin good and forbid evil? He said, the one who appointed you as ruler, O leader of the believers. Al-Mu'tadid bowed his head, then raised it and said, and what made you do that? He said, compassion for you, to remove harm from you. He again bowed his head and then raised it, saying, and why did you allow for one barrel to remain? he said. I had broken the previous barrels in glorification of Allah the Exalted, and I was not thinking of anyone else until finally I reached the last barrel. When pride entered into my heart that I was showing bravery in the face of someone similar to you, and so I abstained from breaking it. Al-Mu'tadid said, Go, for I give you a free hand to prevent any evil that you see.
He rejected the testimony of the ruler.
Bayezid, who was the ruler at the time, went to give testimony in a courthouse whose judge was Shamsuddin Muhammad Hamza al-Funari. However, the judge rejected the testimony of the ruler, and when the latter asked why, the former said, You do not pray with the congregation. First, we should contemplate why his testimony was rejected, and then ask ourselves whether our testimony would be rejected for the same reason. Second, we should appreciate the bravery of the judge who derived his powers of judgment from Allah's Sharia and not from man-made laws. The ruler, who was as much impressed by the bravery of the judge as he was by his justness, built a mosque in front of his castle and never thereafter missed prayer in congregation.
Choose well the mother of your children.
A Bedouin one day said to his children, I did good to you not only when you were young or when you grew up, but also before you were born. They said, Indeed, we know that you have treated us well when we were very young, and then when we grew up. But how is it that you treated us well even before we were born? He said, I chose mothers for you that will not disgrace or discredit you.
Allah's Prophet, Yunus and the Whale.
Allah the Exalted said about his Prophet Yunus, alayhi salam, in the Noble Quran.
And verily, Yunus, Jonah, was one of the messengers. When he ran to the leaden ship, he agreed to cast lots, and he was among the losers. Then a big fish swallowed him, and he had done an act worthy of blame. Had he not been of them who glorify Allah, he would have indeed remained inside its belly till the day of resurrection. But we cast him forth on the naked shore while he was sick, and we caused a plant of gourd to grow over him. And we sent him to 100,000 people or even more, and they believed. So we give them enjoyment for a while.
Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma, related that the ship was filled with goods, that they drew straws, and that they were overcome. This is referring to the fact that the waves were playing with the ship from all directions and it was about to sink. So they drew straws to see who would be thrown into the river in order to lighten the load of the ship. And Allah's Prophet Yunus, alayhi salam, drew the shortest straw. He didn't only draw it once, but he drew it three times. But they did not want to throw him overboard. However, he undressed himself and threw himself into the sea in spite of their protests. Allah ordered for a whale from the green sea to come quickly and swallow Yunus, but not to shatter any part of his body nor to break any of his bones. The whale came and swallowed him. And after settling in the stomach of the whale, Yunus thought he had died. He then moved his head, legs, and other limbs, and he realized that he was in fact alive. He stood then and prayed from inside the belly of the whale, and one of his supplications was, O Allah, I have taken as a mosque for you a place that no one from the people has reached.
The first time one sins.
Ibn Hazm, rahimahullah, related that a thief was brought to Abu Bakr, radiyallahu anhu, who said, "Cut off his hand." The thief said, "Forgive me, O Khalifa of the Messenger of Allah, for I have never stolen prior to this." Abu Bakr said, "You have lied, for by the one who has my soul in his hand, Allah does not suddenly take a believer on the first time that he sins." Anas ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu, related that a thief was brought before Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. The thief said, "By Allah, I have never stolen before this." Umar said, "You have lied by the Lord of Umar. Allah does not take a slave at the first sin." It is said that Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiyallahu anhu, said, "O leader of the believers, Allah is more forbearing than to take a slave for his first sin." Umar then gave the order, and the man's hand was cut off. Then Ali asked him to speak the truth. How many times before had he stolen? He said, 21 times.